And we're going back to Matthew chapter 7. We started the meeting with. And we're going to read the whole, not the whole chapter, but the whole passage that deals with what we're dealing with this morning. And that starts at verse 13. Note every word. Just take notice of every word that's written here. Every word weighs a ton in God's word. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Notice that. There are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen. Father, we pray that you'll bless this tremendous passage from your word. And Lord, open our understanding to it. And may each one of us have a response to it in our hearts. Amen. We've got to remember when Jesus spoke about the house on the rock and the house on the sand, and we're not actually looking at that today, but when he started that parable, it wasn't an isolated story that he told. This happens many times in the Word of God. He didn't just decide to tell the story of the wise and the foolish man who built houses on rock and sand. It starts because of what Jesus said before. There's a therefore there. It's a wonderful word, therefore. And I've always maintained when you see therefore in the scriptures, you need to ask what it's there for. And it's usually there because of what came before it. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, which sayings? The ones he's just been talking about. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to the wise man who built his house on a rock. So if you want to be a wise man and build your house on a rock, and not be affected by the storms of life. Then we need to hear what Jesus has been saying and do it. Jesus warned many times in his ministry, his earthly ministry, about deception. We're going to look at a different kind of deception today, this morning anyway. He warned over and over again. You read the Olivet Discourse and you'll see Jesus there. He says, do not be deceived. False prophets are coming who are going to deceive. Do not be deceived. Over and over again, do not be deceived. It's a mark of the last days. But what Jesus is speaking about here is not so much false prophets who deceive, false preachers, false teachers. They do deceive, and it does come into it a little bit, as we shall see. But I believe Jesus is speaking about self-deception. You can deceive yourself. And that's a very, very sad thing. If you look at that group of people that Jesus mentions in verses 21 to 23, I think they're some of the saddest words in Scripture. Because these people will come to Jesus on the day of judgment, and they'll be absolutely, utterly and totally convinced that they are saved and that they're going into heaven. No doubt about that. They are convinced. Said, Lord, we've done this, we've done that, we've done the other, all in your name, Lord. And he says, depart, I never knew you. They were deceived. Absolutely deceived. And this is a group of people that I am very, very burdened for. I have been for some years, and it's probably come out a lot in my preaching. About the people who think they're all right. Who think they're going to heaven. And they're not. It's terrible. But if you look at the verses that come before that, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult the way. That's not what we hear today, is it? We're told today, Christian life, Cole, come on board. Everything's rosy, everything's wonderful. You know, you can claim this and claim that, and you can be rich and everything else, you know, prosperity and all that. That's what we're told today. It's not what Jesus said. He said, narrow is the gate and difficult the way. If you're having an easy ride, there's a good chance you're not on the right road. Difficult the way which leads to life. In fact, the old AV, it uses the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, straight. Now, straight is not as in straight line or something like that, but it's straight as in like Straits of Gibraltar and things like that. It means an access which is littered with obstacles. And when you get straits on the map, you usually find that those accesses into other waters are usually, glittered with rocks and boulders and different things which make the way difficult. And that's what we're looking at here. The Christian life is a difficult way. Not meant to be rosy. Not meant to be good. Jesus never promised that you'd have an easy life. I challenge people to show me in the Scriptures where it tells us if you get saved, everything's fine. And everything's rosy, everything's good. It's not. It doesn't say that. Because it teaches us trust. It teaches us faith. We have to have the hard times so that we lean on the Lord, so that we learn to trust Him, learn to believe what He said, learn to take Him by the hand, let Him lead us. If we had it all easy, we would never trust the Lord. Our faith would be weak, and we'd never get anywhere. Look at these ways that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a narrow gate and a wide gate. Now, people here are going through a gate. They're going through a gate because they are seeking. They are seeking life. They are seeking eternity, if you like. They are seeking the way of life. So they're going in a gate. Now, the Lord showed me, the Holy Spirit showed me this years ago now. And I have preached on it before, but I'm going to just refresh your mind. There are three groups of people in this passage, not just two. And the third group is very, very clear because it's not mentioned. The Lord showed me that. It shows you two lots of people going through a gate. One the right gate, one the wrong gate. What it doesn't show you is the millions and millions of people that don't go through any gate. And there's millions of them. They're not bothered about the afterlife. They don't believe in God, or they say they don't. They're not bothered about religion. They're not bothered about finding life. They're not bothered about that. They're just bothered about life now, having a good time, and that's it, doing the best they can. They don't go in any gate. They don't even try to go in any gate. They don't try to get saved. They don't try to seek the way of life. Jesus doesn't mention them. Do you know why he doesn't mention them? Because they're the easiest people to work with. The Lord can save those type of people quite easily. Because they're not trying to be something they're not. They're not pretending they're okay. Right? They just know that they're here for the life that they want now, and that's it. No thought of anything else. So they don't enter in any gate at all. But the two groups of people here are seeking something. They are seeking life. They are seeking eternity, if you like. They're seeking to be saved. And we see that there's a wide gate and a broad way. We're told that many are going in that gate, thinking it's the right gate, but it ends in destruction. It's the gate of self-deception. They think religion will save them. They think living by a set of rules will save them. They think going to church will save them. They think living a good life will save them. They will think giving their money will save them. All kinds of things that people latch on to think that they will be okay on that day. And they've gone in through a wide gate. And there's many that go in that way. Many. It's sad, but it's true. Jesus said it. That's what's happening. Unfortunately, the churches of our land here are full of such people. Absolutely. Jesus said so. They're self-deceived. They think they're fine. They think they're okay. And when it comes to judgment day, these very people will probably say, Lord, look what I did in your name. I went to church. I sang in the choir. I done all this, Lord. Yes, I even preached a few times. I even cast out demons. I've done many wonderful things in your name, Lord. And Jesus said, I didn't know you. I never knew you. Self-deceived. But the narrow gates, the difficult way, puts people off sometimes. People don't want a hard life. But I can tell you it is a hard life. I know it's a hard life. I've been through the University of Knox. I know what it's like. It's a hard way, a difficult way, but it's only what Jesus promised you. But it leads to life. It leads to life. You think, we've had it hard. You look at some of the patriarchs in the Bible. Look at Paul and Silas, banged up there in prison. No Xbox, no widescreen telly. They didn't. They were in their stocks. Their feet were held fast in the stocks. And I tell you, the dungeons of those days, I've seen pictures of some that they've found. The dungeons of them days were no windows. They were underground. They were dark and they were damp. And they were probably running alive with rats and insects and goodness knows what. And they didn't feed their prisoners in them days. If they happened to have some relations that took some food in for them, then that's okay. But if they didn't have anybody to take food in, they didn't eat. That was prison. And what did Paul and Silas do? They said, oh dear, I'm fed up with this lark, Lord. You get us out, well, I'm not going to walk this way anymore. They sang praises to God at midnight, the darkest part of the night. They sang praises to God. Because God hadn't promised them any different. But they sang praises to God. Paul had a condition. We're not sure what it is. It can only be sort of guessed at by conjunction with different things that he's written about. We think he probably had a bad eye condition in some of the things that Paul has written. We don't know, but whatever it was troubling him so much because it tells us in the Word that Paul called it a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he had it. And he called out to the Lord three times, Lord, deliver me from this. Did Jesus deliver him? No. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace. That's the mighty Apostle Paul. It's a difficult way that leads to life. And when I walk this difficult way, I've got my eyes on the glory. Oh, I've got my eyes on the glory. That's what keeps me going, isn't it? I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I'm not going to hear those words, I never knew you. I know I won't hear them. I shall hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Because I'm walking the difficult way. What road are you on today? Are you sure? Are you positive? Do you know where you're going? You got doubts? Do you know you're definitely on that road? These are two bigger things to leave to chance. Two bigger issues to ignore. Because once we pass from this life to the next, there's no turning back. There's no change in your mind. There's no say, oh Lord, I meant to get that sorted out. The opportunity's gone. We need to know now, without a doubt, where we're going. We need to know we're on that narrow road, the difficult way that leads to life. And we can only get on that road by doing things that are unpleasant, because we have to face up to what we are. That's one of the most biggest drawbacks, you know, to people going on the right road. Because they have to face up to the fact that they're a rotten sinner. And most people are not prepared to do that. Say, me a sinner? No. No, I live a decent life. I help people, do this, do that. I'm okay. But in God's sight, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Every sin, no exceptions. We've all sinned. And we have to face up to that. To get into the narrow gate. And not only that, we have to repent. When we found out and realise what we are, we have to repent. And we have to turn from it. Repentance is not just saying, sorry, Lord, and going off and doing it all over again. That's what a lot of people seem to think it is these days. If we just say sorry, if we just confess, we can carry on next week just the same. No, if we repent, we turn. We turn from that way. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's not the same anymore. We cannot be the same once we know Jesus. We're different. Yes, it's a difficult way, but it leads to life. Few there be that find it. That's a sad, sad thing. That's why I'm such a skeptical old boy, really. When people tell me that thousands and millions of people are turning to Christ in these days, and I look at verses like this and I think, are you sure? Why did Jesus say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why did he say there's only few that find it? I can only assume that if God is true to his word, that there are many, many people being deceived. Because not only can we be self-deceived, we can be deceived by false prophets, false teachers. We are told that even Satan's ministers transfer themselves into ministers of righteousness. Because they're not giving them the true gospel. I've heard people say, I've heard ministers say, I can't teach repentance. I can't tell people they're sinners, they won't come anymore. Is it more important how many we get through the door? Or how many people we send to hell because we withhold the truth from them? It's a difficult way, and few there be that find it. I'm going to leave those few thoughts with you. Just get your heart right with the Lord. Just know in your heart this morning that you're going to glory. That's why I just love and long to be with the Lord. Because I long to see his face. The one that saved me from hell. The one that saved me from the lake of fire. The one that took my punishment in his own body on the tree. I long to see my Saviour. And I know I'm going to see him. Hallelujah. If you haven't got that assurance, you can go home with it this morning. Amen.